Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Welcome again to Doctrine of Truth. Bishop Poole is your host, and we're happy to have you again wherever you are and how you are listening. And we'd like to have you to call in if it's possible. If not, amen, you can follow us on Facebook or during your time, amen, you can share with others, amen, during your regular time of prayer. Amen. Father, we thank thee right now, Lord God, for those that are listening. Lord, we ask you to stretch your hand of deliverance upon the listeners, and we pray that it be an uplifting program for them, that you can bless them wherever they are, the hearers of this word and of this lesson. And we ask in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Welcome again. This is Doctrine of Truth, where we are reaching out. The Bible says, get wisdom and all our getting, get understanding. And you know, understanding, Proverbs says, brings strength. When we have strength, we can endure, amen, the night and the day, amen. You know, night coming, you can turn your lights on and go in your home and get rest, because you know, amen, over centuries, amen, the earth always have rotated on its axis, and next thing you know, be morning again, light come, day come, amen. And whatever you're going through, amen, behold, amen, joy come in the morning. And we don't know when the morning is going to be in your life. It might be when you come to the full understanding that Jesus loves you, amen, no matter what, amen. He will keep his word, and he does keep his word, and he is, amen, a loving God. Love cares, and love gives. And being a Christian is one of the foundation, amen, whereby Christian live offer, we love for love, giving, sacrificing. We givers, and we also sacrifice, because we want to help others. We want to help others. Amen. Look at the book of Matthews, and we're going to be discussing, amen, one of the Beatitudes, amen, that Jesus was teaching. Amen. In the fifth chapter, amen, of Matthew's, beginning at the 21st verse, he said, you have heard that it was said by them of old. Now, we're talking about them of old concerning the old covenant, the Old Testament, some might call it. Amen. The law that God gave Moses. Moses was a lawgiver, amen, because God gave it to Moses. Not because Moses was able to write. No, that was divine inspiration, amen, that God gave Moses this information, amen, to govern his people. Because in the beginning of time, there were no laws and rules to live by. And God started that, because in the beginning of time, everybody lived by the way he felt, by the way he thought it should be, and that would cause chaos, because the information where they was getting the information from, amen, they was getting it from a fallen angel that came from heaven, and he wanted to destroy all of God's creation, and he had them to fight against each other. He had them to come after each other, to destroy each other, not respect one another. And so God wrote, he wrote the laws, and he gave it to Moses. And this is why Jesus was speaking. He said, you heard what they said of them of old. Of old. He made reference to that. Of them of old times. Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. 22nd verse. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell's fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt have no means come out of this till thou hast paid thy uttermost farthing. Now, Jesus was making reference to, amen, how we treat one another. You know, if we go back in Leviticus during the time, amen, of Moses, them, and he was saying to them about, amen, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, that's doing the law. We were looking for a payment. Everybody had learned, amen, under the laws and rules and regulation, even down to now, that we're looking for some kind of compensation. We're looking to be received for something that enable a friend because, amen, it's a payment. A payment has to be made. And this is what Jesus was teaching when he began to, in the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter, about being offended, offending your brother. And we look at it though as, well, nothing, this situation does not affect me to the point whereby I'm going to miss my salvation. I'm going to miss Jesus. Jesus is a one-way direction. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. St. John 14. No man can come unto the Father but by me. So Jesus gave his life because of love. God wrapped himself up. And the Bible said in St. John 1:1, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him, there was nothing made that was made. The Word became flesh and walked among us and dwelt among us. So when God was among us, wrapped in the Word, wrapped in flesh, he observed things. He saw things. He first took hand part of life as a human. He became flesh. He walked, he heard, he felt, he tasted, and he saw all the senses. God had all the senses, and yet instead he was still God. I know there was a great argument, how can, you know, God be not contaminated? Because he came in the flesh, he came in Mary's flesh, and he walked and he talked. He was born of a woman, but the Bible said he wasn't corrupted. He wasn't corrupted. And there's always an argument about, well, you know, the mother is greater than the son. But, amen, God chose this direction to let man know, because it was a legal direction for the human race. It was a legal direction for the human race to come through the woman. Amen. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God, amen, he said that, you know, the woman going to bear children, and it's going to be her burden. It's going to be her job. It's going to be her, that's where she get her suffering, amen, because of sin. Not because God didn't love her. Sin brought it. Sin can bring a lot of things in that direction. Amen. Sin, we have somebody holding, amen. If you like to call in and be a part, amen, and be a part of this, and we'd like to discuss, amen, this subject. But Jesus, one way Jesus, but we're discussing being offended, amen, about how we should carry ourselves as Christians. We got to carry ourselves as Christians. Notice, in Romans 12:17, say, repay no man evil for evil. Repay no man evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Regard for good things in the sight of all men. Now, if someone, according to Matthew's 18th chapter, if someone, amen, trespass against you. And the Bible says that we should take someone, you should go to that person and discuss the issue with him or with her. And they don't hear you, you take somebody else with you. And that's where the Bible says, out of mouth of two or three witnesses, let my word be established. Now, if that doesn't work, amen, if that's not workable, then what you do, you take it to the higher authority in the church and you discuss it in love concerning what had happened. What had happened. Now, if that doesn't work, amen, then the Bible says that we should release the person. We have to release the person. Now, on a grassroots level, it's because of the spirit and the attitude that this person has exhibited, and they want a payment. They want to be heard because of the fact something had happened, and they want whoever it was, and you was facing the person, you're talking with the person face to face, and you say, well, listen, he owed me or she owed me an apology, and they find out nobody want to apologize, they say, this was wrong, that was wrong, you know. But, you know, it is unrighteous for the children of God to avenge ourselves. Amen. We should not consider, but it's the world system. It's the world system. We want to get paid. We want to get paid. We want somebody to pay us. We want somebody to say, okay, you wrong. That's a payment. Verbally from their mouth, you wrong. Okay, you wrong. All right, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. No, you didn't mean it that way. They didn't mean it. They didn't really mean it. They wrong. See, we take confessions to the extreme sometimes. But the Bible said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know, let my word be established. So in a situation like that, if a person feel within their heart they have given a true confession or given an honest remark, well, I'm wrong and I'm sorry and I apologize. You know, they can be crying or whatever, but you yourself, you wanted this payment. You want to hear them say, they are sorry. Okay? Now they said it from their heart. Sometimes people would cry and go on and say, oh, that, it wasn't a tear. That person was crying, but it was, you, did you see a tear? I didn't see a tear. You know, they were smiling when they walked away. No, you want to hear it from their heart. You want to hear from the heart that what they have honestly sorrowful about what they've done against you. That will be your payment. Is that right? That will be your payment. You know, it is unrighteous for a child of God to avenge themselves. You know, but that is exactly what we're seeking. When we refuse to forgive somebody, we desire, we seek, we plan, we carry out a vengeance. We forget until the debt is paid in full. Only we can determine and the acceptable compensation. When we seek to correct the wrong done to us, we set ourselves up to as a judge. In James 4:12 and 5:9, James said, there's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Do not grudge against one another. Brethren, lest you be condemned, behold, the judge is standing at the door. Remember what Jesus said? Remember in the beginning how he was born in a manger and, you know, swaddling clothes? He knew things. As a poor child, as a rich child, you know, he saw things. He heard things. He smelt things. Amen. As a baby, he couldn't say much. Amen. But he was there. He was right here with us. So he knows about one thing. He knows more than all of us of what goes on in the spirit realm. And we have to trust God. We have to trust his son. Amen. He loved us, and that's the issue. We have to come to the grips with that. Why would I follow somebody if they don't love me? You know, you're being religious if you are. You're just putting on a hypocritical face. But you should really love this person. Jesus said, I'm the way. He's a way through life. He's a way through life. And you know what? You're going to invest in him right now while you're living. And let's say tomorrow, this is vacation time. And tomorrow you go in some place, or Alaska, wherever you are, wherever you're listening. You're going to go to another continent, maybe extremely hot continent, extremely cold continent, but you're just visiting for a while to visit a friend or relative. Okay, you get there, and now it's time for you, the termination of your trip and everything is over. Now it's time for you to come back home. And what you find out, your ways of transportation, the way that you chose to come back, is going to be delayed another 3 months. You say, oh, my God, wait a minute. 3 months I've got to stay here? Wait a minute. You loved that place in the beginning, but that was temporary position. But now, all of a sudden, you're going to be there for 3 more months. But you might be homesick already to go back home. Can you put yourself, let's think about it, put the shoe on the other foot. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Okay? Jesus said, I'm building a mansion. It's going to be golden streets, pearls at every door. Amen. It's going to be beautiful. Now, are you ready to go with Jesus? Are you ready? He's one way, but you have to follow my rules and regulation. Jesus said you have to follow my rules and regulation. In order to get there, you can't bring in any of the tight spirits, because when you leave this earth, your body going to shield off, amen, because you are spiritual already, your body, soul, and spirit. Your real person is the inner man, and the outer man going to shield off, amen, and you're going to be caught with Christ in the spirit, be going to our spiritual home. When you get there, you say, oh, wait a minute, I got to go back. I don't like it here. Oh, wait a minute. I love whatever you love more, and I'm not sure that I want to go be up here or go in this new place. I got comfortable in this old place. I remember many years ago, in the church, people always want, sometime before you meet them, you don't have to be in the church environment. He was praying for this man to get a new house and a new area. And he received that blessing. But when it would come time for him to leave, he had a second thought. He had a second thought. And it was that, no, Bishop, I put too much time in here. I've been here too long. And, the prayer partners couldn't believe it. Wait a minute now. All this praying and seeking God will give you favor for a better place, better environment. Now you want to stay here in this location, in this area, when you got better buildings and better structure and everything. That's how we get sometimes. We get comfortable. We get complacent. Yeah, I love the Lord, but I'm not going to change. Everything is fine right now, but Jesus, I'm not ready to go yet. I'm not ready to get receive a better job. I think I'd rather stay here. All I came for Christ was anyway, just to be comfortable, know the word, go to a church that teach Bible teaching, have, amen, a mission and work. But for me to go out and do something, no, I'm not concerned about that. I just ask God for a better place of worship. You're not complacent. Got complacent. And didn't even study about Christ. Christ came that we might have life. We might have it more abundantly. And he wants us to share our life-giving strength and our encouragement with others. There are many people of the press because of what the world said. And there are some, amen, is following this rule that they have. They're looking for revenge. They're looking for revenge. They're looking for revenge, and they want an answer. They want an answer. Under the Old Testament covenant, if you trespass against me, I have the legal right to bring the same back to you. Permission was granted to collect on debts. Repayments, evil for evil, in Leviticus 24:19. The law was supreme. Jesus had not yet died on the set for our freedom. And this is why Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whosoever slapped you on the right cheek, turn to the other also. If any want to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whosoever compel you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give him you ask for him who want to borrow from you. Do not turn away. And I know many of you say, I need to skip that about turning the cheek, let him hit the other cheek, especially dealing with money in times like this. But see, with Jesus, Jesus did not leave a gray area to be gruntled. He did not leave a gray area. In fact, he said that our attitude is to be far from, removed from avenging ourselves, that we are willing to open ourselves to the possibility of being taken advantage of again. I know that's kind of strong. It's kind of strong. But look at it this way. This is why we're here, amen, discussing things, how to give you spiritual strength. Because Jesus spoke one time, we have to be like little children, you know, not to hold things, not to be like Hebrews 12:14-15. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. Without no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest any fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by many become defiled. If you start getting a lot of bitterness in you and holding things in you, and you have to, you know, it will happen. It will happen as long as you live. And especially if you want to be a leader, somebody might confuse a scripture or your intention one way and decided that was wrong. That was wrong. And such a man, amen, was in such a situation. I want to read, amen, a portion of this, amen, concerning Absalom and David. A portion. Amen. You can see where it's going. Second Samuel 13. Now, you'll find that early in the book we look at how David remained loyal to King Saul, and when Saul was not loyal to David, David did not seek vengeance against him, either for himself. Even he was given opportunity, but David, amen, was a man after God's own heart, and he let God judge Saul, he didn't want to judge Saul. When God's judgment fell upon Saul, David did not rejoice. He grieved over Saul, for he had no bitterness towards him. Many of you know about Saul, and I'm paraphrasing now a little of this. Because if anybody might want to call in, you might have been offended. You might have things that have happened. Amen. But we want you to listen at what happened to David's son, Absalom. Absalom. If you want to call in, you can call in 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. Amen. After Saul's death, David ascended on the throne, and he strengthened the nation and joined military and financial success, and he held the throne secure. David's son, Amnon, committed a wicked offense against his half-sister Tamar. who was Absalom's sister. He pretended to be ill and asked his father to send Tamar to serve him food. And when she did, he ordered a servant out and raped her. He then despised her and had her removed from his sight. He had disgraced a virgin royal priest, devastating her life with shame. 2 Samuel 13. And you notice, without saying a word to the half-brother, Samuel brought his sister into his own home and probably for her. But he hated Ammon from defiling Tamar. He hated Ammon from defiling Tamar. Absalom expected his father to punish his half-brother. King David was outraged when he heard of Ammon's wickedness, but he took no course of action. Absalom was devastated by his father's lack of justice. Have you heard that before? Well, the pastor don't know what he's doing, the parents don't know what they're doing, or supervisor doesn't know what he's doing. Tamar had once worn the royal robe that were reserved for the king's virgin daughter. Now she was robed in shame. She was a beautiful girl and had probably been held high esteem by the people. Now she lived in seclusion, unable to marry because she was no longer a virgin. This was unfair. She had attended Ammon at the king's command, and she was raped. Her life was over. While the king was committing the atrocity life as if nothing had happened, she bore the weight of all her life in shambles. Day after day, Absalom saw his grieving sister. The perfect extent of the priest had become a nightmare. Absalom waited for years for his father to do something, but David did nothing. Absalom was offended by his father, and he hated the wicked Ammon. After 2 years, he hated for Ammon birth a plot to murder him. I will avenge my sister, since the proper authorities choose to do nothing, Absalom probably thought. He threw a feast for all the king's sons, and when Ammon did not suspect him, Absalom had him killed. Absalom fled. His revenge was accomplished against Ammon, but offense he carried against his father burning stronger, especially while he was away in the palace. Although Absalom thoughts were poisoned with bitterness, he became an expert critic of David's wickedness. He had hoped his father would call for him. David did not. This fueled Absalom's resentment. Have you heard that before? You probably met people. You probably met someone. They're very bitter. Things that happen in their life, amen, and doesn't have to be a woman. It can be a man. Things that happen. But David had learned that God would take over the scene. That God doesn't want, even back there during the time, amen, of old, in the Old Testament, amen. David learned. That's why he was a man of God on the heart. And you find that in Ephesians 4:31 and 32 said, all bitterness, wrath, and clamor, and evil speaking to be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God and Christ forgave you. Absalom drew Israel to him and rose up against David. King David had to flee Jerusalem for his life. It looked like if Absalom would establish his own kingdom, instead, he was killed in the pursuit of David, even though David had ordered that he remain untouched. Absalom was, in fact, killed by his own bitterness and offense. Isn't that something? He was going after David, seeking for his life, and ran up through some a forest, and the donkey took him through the forest. He was riding at the time, and he got his neck caught up in trees, broke his neck. Absalom was a beautiful man. He had a handsome man. He had beautiful. His hair was always down to his back. When he cut his hair, he weighed 3 or 4 pounds. And it was talking about Absalom was tall, and he was next in line for the kingship. But he let bitterness seek into his heart. He thought that, you know, we all, well, I'm going to judge this. I'm going to take over this. I'm going to get the price. Amen. Do this person. Amen. Absalom was by right. Yes, he was hurt, and his sister was hurt the more. You know, and it was common back in the day. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But see, David had learned, that's why he didn't kill Saul, the times he had to kill Saul, that God will avenge you when somebody attack you. If we're children of God, we're following God, God will avenge. And look how God spared David and helped David. That's why David was so humble. And look at Moses, how Moses, when you meet God face to face and see the power, amen, and know what he's capable of, amen, and you learn, the more you fellowship with him, the more you fellowship with his son Jesus, and you begin to see the big picture, not the small picture. God suffered that none should be lost. Ezekiel 18, he said, all souls of mine and the soul, amen, that sinners, it shall die. Amen. But if a righteous man would turn away from his righteousness, amen, and sin, and he mess around and die in his sin, in judgment, God would judge him in sin. Sin brings punishment. Sins bring, amen, lying and evil and sickness and disease. And you say, whoa, Bishop, I didn't do none of that. You might like the rich young ruler. When he met Jesus, he said, Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, you keep the commandments. You know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not buffet. The rich young ruler said, hold on. All of that for my youth, I kept that. I kept the law. Jesus said, Jesus looked in his heart. He said, yes, but it's one thing you're lacking. You know, as a Christian, one thing, when we begin to grow and work for God, and God begin to grow in us, and we begin to grow in the word of God and prayer and saturate ourselves in fellowship, amen, and helping the needy and the poor and seeing the widows and those that involve, you'll find out that, amen, God loves givers. And Jesus said that one thing you lack, and go sell all you have and give to the poor. He was offended, and he dropped his head and walked away. See, we want payment for what someone have done against us. We want to be paid. And our life throughout the years, the world saying, and everyone is saying that you meet, sue the person. Sue them. They was wrong. You know, call them up. Tell them it was wrong. But we as Christians, and we do the best we can. And we try to follow peace with all men. The Bible said holiness was out. No man can see the Lord. Holiness is just a matter of separation. Separating ourselves from the world system in a way whereby we obey the law of the land, but we also do what's right. You know, because Jesus is a one way. It's friendship, it's fellowship, And Christianity is built on God's love. God so loved the world that he sent and he gave his only begotten son. So love, giving, and sacrificing. Christian, we learn and we develop and begin to show signs that we're willing to, you know, take second place in order to keep peace. We're learning that. You know, and the more you practice and the more you get involved in that, and that practice, you find that God will give you peace in your heart. Amen. God began to heal your broken heart. Now, you say, well, that's why it's very important to be truthful to God. When we hear the gospel, when we talk about how Jesus died on the cross for our sins, all of us have sinned and fall short. Where have we sinned? We was born in sin, and we're able and we're capable of what? Hurting our brother and sister. We're capable of discussing things against people. We're capable of lying. We're capable of being selfish and be lustful. That's all in the world. And it's against God's law. So when God began to have someone to come to you and to share with you, you begin to see the difference. And this way the lines begin drawn about being a Christian, and they try to add in, and people you find try to add in things. And, well, since I am a new Bible believer, I have a right to a gray area in my life whereby I can hold things against people. They won't even know it. Look at Absalom. When Absalom saw his brother Amnon, his older brother, all the time, he didn't say good or bad to him. He didn't speak good or bad to him. But in his heart, he held that offense. And he was out to get him. He waited 2 years or more. Sometimes people wait years and it just eat them up. They get bitter and bitter. Amen. Good morning. What's so good about it? What's so good about it? And they cut, you know, they cut their eyes at them and they say, well, why is this person so bitter all the time? Why? What happened in their lives? What's going on? It doesn't take much. And they just, you know, they fall apart. Or because of what? Bitterness. Proverbs says, amen, bitterness dries the bone. Amen. It begins to work on your health. It works on your mind all the time. That same record playing over and over and over in your mind all the time. All the time, those things that have happened. Amen. I remember many years ago, amen, we had a bus driver, and the person wanted to drive, and I was getting information that at the last minute that, you know, from God that she can't drive. Can't drive this bus, a big 7-6 passenger bus. And half of the bus was a family and relatives. And, oh, Pastor, let her drive. So we were about 2 hours away from home. And I started letting her drive. And she was a bus driver, but they had fired her. Amen. We had fired her from doing that type of work for the school system. And, you know, being a young pastor, I just took people for their word. I took them for their confession. I took them for what I believe they would not put people in danger. And because of their pride or whatever, they started driving the bus. And I said, okay, all right, we'll let you drive. And halfway, I guess about 10 or 15 minutes down the road, I saw it. Everybody saw, oh, my God, this lady can't drive the bus. And when we came to a toll gate, she couldn't stop the bus. And the bus hit another car in the back and knocked the baby up under the wheels. And God gave us a miracle. It was a miracle. No one was hurt. And this had to be a miracle because looking at the other car, all the windows busted out, that big old international bus, Amen. It was impossible not for anybody to get hurt but God. But God. God was able. But I carried that through prayer and asking, you know, that's what the Bible said about Isaiah 58. Amen. Fasting and praying. Amen. Heavy burdens. Let their heavy burdens go. People do it for religious purposes that fast and pray or for nothing. But it's God designed to lift heavy burdens. Sometimes you need to, you know, get away from eating and read and just being prayer and meditation. And it took time. And I was able to, you know, face day to day and thanking God over and over and over. Thank God the baby didn't die. Thank God that baby didn't die. Amen. And you can imagine, I would have been washed out. You probably never heard me on the radio or anything else. Amen. But God is able. Amen. Certain things take time. The more you give yourself to Christ, the more you give yourself to reading. Amen. Let the Word of God begin to wash your mind. And you begin to read these Old Testament stories. Amen. Paul said in Galatians, the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. And it goes into details. And Jesus bring it over. And he said, yes, but I said, this is a new and a living way that Jesus has given us. Because if you'd hurt, if I would continue to hold that grudge, amen, that would destroy it also, me and the ministry. See, you can't hold things. You have to learn how to let it go. Let it go. Amen. Through prayer, amen, through being active and being positive and being around positive people. Amen. So when it shows up again, you know how to see, okay, I'm going to let God handle this because I can't handle it. You know, and talk to God, and God will give you the strength, and he will take you through. So Jesus only had one way. He's only one way. Amen. He's honest, and he will carry through. He will carry us through. You can depend on him keeping his word. You can depend on him for help. You can depend on him for strength. You can depend on Christ. Amen. Being and saying what he says, and that's what he means. If he says he's going to prepare a place for us, that's what he means. He's preparing a place for us. That's what he means. And he will come back. And because of the fact, the little small things you are going through, and the things that you've seen others go through, and, you know, maybe you run into some widows, they still love Jesus. They lost their husband. They lost their wife. Amen. And say, well, you know, God is able. God giving them strength day by day. And he's restoring their life. And he's replenishing their life. Amen. Because they wrapped up and tied up in Jesus Christ. Not in material things. But these material things, storms coming, winds and hurricanes. And you know what's happening now. All these changes. So in these last days, we will be offended. We are going to be, amen, they're turning against what they say they were going to do. Amen, they say, well, I'm going to be with you, but they're deceivers. They're deceiving people. They give them half of the truth and not all the truth. They could tell you all of it, but they don't tell you all. They're betraying one another. They're hating one another. That's what Jesus said. Many in Matthew 24, he said, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Amen. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Amen. And when you can find a false preacher, a false teacher, one that's not mature enough yet in Christ, when they hold offense. They hold offense. They hold something against someone. And lo and behold, you don't go and be in a fellowship, enjoying fellowship with a man or woman that started a ministry. And because they was offended in the last church and the last ministry, would not let them take over, would not let them be the pastor, would not let them run revivals like they thought God should. Amen. This pastor been there, this bishop been there for years, from the low time and the high time. Ministry go through changes sometimes. in low times and high times. And all of a sudden you find a young minister, regardless of what age they are, they think they have the answer. And this did not happen. The German deacons, if the church have deacons, say, no, sir, you can't do it this way. We're not going to go this way. And they leave. They leave under offense. They leave the ministry and start another ministry. They start another ministry. And when they start another ministry, they start it in offense. And they start drawing other people to their ministry from the past ministry they used to be in. David didn't do that. David did not go after a whole lot of people. David did not try to pull people away from Saul and try to kill Saul. No, he didn't do that. God handled that. God handled that. Amen. Absalom, the one who was going to pull, he was pulling people away from his father, King David. Absalom went out there and started talking against David, got the favor of Israel, and got it so whereby David got the word that Absalom was going to come in to kill him, take over the kingdom. And David had to flee for his life. You see, if you follow Absalom, Absalom is going to wreck himself after a while. Amen. In the book of Acts, amen, those men came after the apostles. Amen. And one of the chief officers rose up and said, listen, if it's not of God, it's going to come to naught. If it's not of God, it's going to come to naught. If God did not set it up, God not going to fertilize it, God not going to keep it, it's going to go down. Absalom ministries always shipwreck. If you're in an Absalom ministries, amen, they're taking people from other people, amen, because they didn't like the shepherd administration, they didn't like the shepherd way of ministering things. And the shepherd been there 500 years, and they only been in ministry 4, 5, 6, 7 years or 9 years, and they think they can do it better. Listen, if God set you in the office and God put you there, nobody can move you. Regardless of how, amen, they might not like the way it's flourishing, God will always, the church is always on the cutting edge. The church is always on the cutting edge. It might not be the way you like it at that time, amen, but it's going to live. I'd rather be in a living ministry, amen, where David is still there. If you go the Absalom way, it's gonna shipwreck. You might want a payment. And this is what Paul had said in the book of Romans. If you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you can, like Peter said in the book of Acts, repent and be baptized. What that you might not be the greatest Bible student, but you have heard that Jesus cared for you, that he loved you, and he wants you to be a better person, and he will help you be a better person. It's more to it than just being baptized in water. Amen. You got to learn how to live this thing. You have to learn how to. This is a new and living way. We have to learn how to abandon, amen. We have to lay aside every weight, amen, carrying grudges and being mistreated because of, you know, and you think that's wrong, but Jesus said you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sakes, and you have to, you know, come to grips with living for Christ. I mean, you don't have to wear a sign. Say you're a Christian. Your sign is your life. Amen. After a while, the people begin to see that you're a loving person, you're a caring person. Amen. And you're not about violence. You're not about destroying homes or shipwrecking things. You're about keeping peace and putting things together. Amen. Once they begin to see that in your life, that's Christianity. That's Christianity. Amen. So when you... God said, if you just confess with your mouth. Now, he said, well, that's too easy. No, it's not too easy. Because of what? If you're carrying a grudge, some of you want somebody just to say, I just want him to say that he was wrong. If he say he was wrong, or she say she was wrong, then that's all I want. That's all I want. But when you come to God, and God said, well, I want you to confess amen, that the lifestyle that you was being aware of, amen. Well, I don't know, because my birthmark and my birthday, I always have parties, and I'm a Leo, and I'm a die Leo, and God ain't got nothing to do with it. I don't see, well, nowhere in the Bible, the first commandment is that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not worship any signs in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth. So that's why we have to, what? We have to be involved in the Bible. In 1 John 5, in the last part of 1 John, the 5th chapter, say, my little children, keep yourself from idols. And we have idol worshipers. You worship things you're not aware of. Amen. And when you read the Bible and begin to discuss things, amen, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. Your family sometimes look like they blood is thicker than Jesus' blood. Oh, my family say this, so I can't go to church. Oh, I can, you know. No. Love your family, but let them, if you living right and walking upright, they respect you. Well, you know, they're Christian. So, okay, come when you can. Because what? You living right, you walking upright, and you showing the light in your life that God, you love God more than you love them. And one thing about God, amen, through his son Jesus Christ, he does not, amen, want you to destroy your own family. No, because what he started families in the beginning. He saw it was wrong that a man should live alone. Amen. And a woman and a man should be together and have children. That's the church. God love all of that. Amen. He's not going to destroy that, but he wants you to show respect and teach them, because how are you going to gain them? Amen. How are you going to be recognized as a Christian? Amen. Every time something come up, oh, is family first and God second? No. This is what growing is about, growing in Christ. Being offended, oh, well, I can't go to church. I'm being offended. Somebody says something about me. Well, you got to get over that. You got to move on. Got to move on. You got to keep moving. And how you keep moving? Because of the fact you consider, James said, if a man seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, be careful what you say and how you say things. Amen. A soft answer turn away wrath. Amen. A man seemed to be religious, writing out his tongue. He visit. Not just call him. Well, you can call him. Amen. The widows, you know, in the widows, your community. Amen. If you check around, you'll be aware a lot of our seniors are being neglected in their older days. They're really going through, especially in the economy as bad as it is now. There are a lot of young families are going through. So a lot of seniors are being neglected. There's the widows and the seniors and their affliction. Amen. And keep in the offering. There's a lot of children are being abandoned. Amen. Oh, well, Bishop, you don't have to get rated X and all of that. Well, let's make you aware. If you be involved in what Jesus wants you to be aware of, you won't have time to have a pity party or have a time, you know, to think about yourself. Because when you're moving, you'd be like the birds. God supplied the birds. And once you find this secret of Matthew 7:7, you find the secret. God's word, amen. You have to get involved in God's word to see the mystery, how he take care of his children. Amen. When you get involved in God's word and you see how God begin to take care of his children, amen, you give to the proper people in proper circumstances, and you begin to see the flow of God. Because if the natural man, unsaved man, and false prophets, they be out there trying to, amen, steal from the churches, and they get involved in churches. Oh, all they want is money. They only see the surface. They see prosperity on the surface. Oh, it's money, it's money. Oh, it's money in the ministry. They see the surface. But if you're a real child of God, you start digging in, going down and helping the widows and the offering, amen, and praying for people, amen, you begin to see the secret. In Matthew 7:7 says, seek and you'll find. Whatever you're going through, amen, you know how you get on the radio, you call on the phone, you call on, you know, run it down a computer, you write letters, you'll find. Amen. All these birds and animals in the world, they are still living. They finding food from someplace. And God got some real people out there looking for you, and you should be looking for them. Whatever problem, whatever situation you're in, don't let the spirit of discouragement, the spirit of oppression stop you. That's what the enemy wants. That's where he live at idleness. He live in idleness. But God's people, God say, go. Go, move. Move around, move. And you get into that stream. You get into that understanding. Amen. Because he wants us to put what? The touch, the handle, talk with people. You know, personal. You want a personal ministry for dealing with people. So you can confess. Prayer is talking. Amen. So the way you want someone to talk to you and tell you, forgive me. Oh, I have done this wrong, and I need you to talk. That person has done me. I just want them to call me. If they call me, I give them a piece of my mind. I let them know. But they won't call me, and I won't call them. And I don't know what's going to happen. But listen, God wants you to confess. You know, you was wrong against him. And when you pray, and some say, well, that's not enough. That's not enough. God, confession is not enough. Well, talk to the person that's been offended. They don't want no money, no property, no nothing to materialize. They just want that person to come forward and say, well, you know, I wanted to tell them that, you know, I saw it and was wrong, and they feel good after that. Confession is powerful. It's powerful. And God wants that kind of payment. Jesus then gave his life. He have given his life. And all we have to say, Lord, forgive me, amen, of being offender and being hurting others and, you know, not caring, and you just let it out of your heart or write a letter. You can write out letters and send it out and call, whatever the Holy Spirit leading you to do, that it can be a part of your life. You can move it. You can move it. You can move on. You have to. You have to. You have to keep moving. Trees grow. If you plant it in the right soil, it grows. If you're in the right place in Christ, you're going to grow. You're going to grow. Seasons change. Things change. Situations change. Amen. Confession is powerful. God wants you to say, I love you. God wants you to tell him, thank you. God wants you to be active. And once you become active and become walking in his direction, amen, you can see the love of God in you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening today, wherever you are. Amen. If you like to write, you can write, amen, at P.O. Box 25. Amen. 888 Tamarack, Florida 33320. You can visit us on Facebook at JCII, Facebook.com, Jesus Christ International Ministries. Amen. You can visit us on the web, www.jciministries.com.org. www.jciministry.org. Or you can see us on YouTube, www.youtube.com. User, God bless you. So happy to have you again today. Continue to pray for one another and pray for those that are here. And we want you to know that Jesus loves you and he cares for you. But just don't give up. Don't give up. Amen.
See above water. All you need.